Hey, all right, welcome to the Insight Nature versus Nurture podcast, a weekly podcast covering things associated to nutrition and lifestyle. This week we're going to be discussing the conversation with the body, how your food and your environment can really have a language onto its own regarding what you're telling your body and how the body reacts to that. Okay, so grab a seat, plug yourself in, and enjoy the show. I've titled this podcast Body Language. The reason for that is, again, you've heard me say in previous podcasts that we don't fully understand the body. I know we talk about modern medicine and things like that, but really, we understand what comprises the body in terms of its organs and physiology and things like that. We are working diligently to understand illness, but we really don't understand the body, okay? It's a lot like exploration. We know more about the moon and our solar system than we do what's in our ocean. I really find that the science of human health has really taken a turn in terms of like external health. You know, even as a nutritionist, it's focusing on the science of the food, not necessarily the science of how the food reacts to the body, because the individual nature, again, you can hear me continually talk about the human variable, how, you know, in a test tube or in a lab, in a hermetically sealed environment, you're going to get a result, and that result could be consistent. It could be, you know, almost preemptive, right? Or preempted. The results in the human body are very different regarding, you know, you could be feeding someone 50,000 people this particular food item, and there's always going to be that person within that number or persons that are going to react differently to it. And I really think that that's being missed. So anyway, before I get off on another tangent, the conversation, the body language, it's not so much, it's a conversation. It's back and forth. It's two ways. It's what the body tells us, and it's what we're telling the body. So how we communicate with the body, there's a multitude of different ways. You know, you hear a lot of people are talking right now about meditation and, you know, positive thinking and how that affects the body and its cells and energy. But also, too, you have the environmental factor. You have what's called epigenetics. And the environmental impact on the body is really, it's very strong. It's here. It's palpable. It's tangible. It's quantifiable. It's right here, right now. It's the pressure that exists. And it's what the body has been formulated to adapt to, right, in terms of its physiology, which has a big bearing on its neurochemistry, you know, its chemical biology, its you know, electrical system when it comes to, you know, central nervous system and things like that. So we have lifestyle. Lifestyle is the environment that surrounds us, the water that we're in, so to speak, the air that we breathe. And then you have the food that's available to us in our environment that allows us to construct and modify and adapt, quote-unquote, evolve to be able to deal with the environment that we find ourselves in. So those are essentially the three elements. Again, you should, if you've heard previous podcasts, you're going to hear that frequently laid throughout those. So the conversation that we have with our bodies, essentially, what does your body need in order to do what you're asking it to do, and what are you asking it to do? So a lot of us out there these days, what we're doing is we're asking our bodies to do things and we're not giving them what they need to do it. So you're exercising and you go on a diet. So number one, you're restricting calories, which really at the end of the day isn't the be all and end all, right? Because calories, it's not a nutritional unit. It's just a unit of heat. But the demand on the body goes up on a physiological level, and it may feel good at first, but then the honeymoon phase wears off, and then all of a sudden the body starts to realize, whoa, 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 wait a minute, you're not paying me for this. So where do we go from here? And because of the body and how it's designed, it will try to accommodate these things. It'll try to do them. And in an effort to do that, it'll start to kind of feed off itself, right? It'll become more catabolic. It'll start to rob from Peter to pay Paul. And you'll get into some tissue that when you start to get into it and you start to catabolize it, break it down, the body in turn sends a signal to more or less protect itself. Because it's tissue that shouldn't be leaving the body. You start to burn essential cells. You start to break these muscle tissues, these cells down, and the body actually needs them. So then the body's forced to make a decision, okay, do I continue doing this or do I burn myself out? Do I put myself into the ground? And the body's always got your best interests at heart. So it will look to shut you down. So it'll do that hormonally. It'll do that through inflammation. There's a multitude of different ways, appetite, which again, you're getting into leptin and ghrelin, and the appetite hormones. So these things start to go wonky in an effort to try and get you to stop exercising in order to preserve the muscle tissue it has left. Now also to a panic response to the body, or a panic response that the body has is storing for the impending storm, right? It's like putting canned goods in the bomb shelter. So this is the big issue, all right? That's one of the big issues, I'm sorry, where people tend to go to exercise first because it's taught in our culture that that's the way to do it. And we've been doing this for the last 50 years. There's been gyms popping up everywhere and personal trainers, and it's a $1 billion-a-year industry and blah, 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 blah. And our situation continues to get worse. And there's a quote that I love, and it's, you know, never take swimming lessons from a drowning person, right? It's our fault, guys. We're out there, we're listening to these people, and they all have a quick fix and just do this and exercise and exercise. And then they're covering, you know, you get on, you do these crash diets, and these people are looking at calories, and they're not paying attention to nutrients, or they are looking at your macros, but they're not looking at as to whether or not these macros are beneficial to you. So they give you number ranges and things like that, but then they don't keep up or keep in contact with you to be able to determine whether or not that macro and its delivery system, you know, say it's a carbohydrate, which is a macronutrient. Macronutrients are your big nutrients. You've got water, protein, fat, and carbohydrates. Those are your four major macronutrients. And yes, water is a nutrient, and a lot of people don't know that, and they're really out there screwing the pooch because they're not getting enough water in, and their body's not getting the nutrients from the food that they're consuming. So anyway, that's a whole nother podcast. So the food that we're taking in doesn't match our bodies. We're not absorbing it, but on paper or on the app, we're getting enough macros, but the body's not absorbing the macros. The body has an increased demand because you didn't decrease your stress. You added to your stress, and all of a sudden, right, the hormones, the endorphins that are released after exercise aren't doing as much. Okay, it's a lot like those couple beer, and you know, you come home at the end of the day, you have a couple beer, it relaxes you, and it's eventually those couple beer aren't enough, and you need more beer to do that same, to have that same effect, because the body adapts to it. Guys, this is what's happening, and this is why people are working themselves into the ground, and the more fit they become, the more unhealthy they become psychologically. Because they need to keep pushing, or else the minute that they let off the gas, they're gaining weight like crazy, they're falling into these depressions, like the body is just, it's almost like as a firefighter, I've been in situations where people are in shock and they don't realize how hurt they are. And then when the situation dissipates and the shock kind of retreats a little bit, they notice, they start to feel intense pain. People that have been in car accidents, sometimes they don't even know they're hurt until days later, and that hurt can represent itself psychologically or physiologically depending on the type of injury or the situation that occurred that created the accident. So none of that sounds healthy, guys, right? So we have to focus on achieving health first and then looking at fitness afterwards, creating a fitter, healthier person, not necessarily a healthier person. So the conversation that we're having with our bodies has to do with our food and environment. How we treat the body, how we stimulate the body or stress the body, that's a conversation, right? So if I'm conversing with someone and I use this voice, chances are they're not going to get that adrenal reaction. I'm not yelling at them, all right? I could say the same thing at this tone or the same thing at this tone and you're going to get a different reaction from the body. You're going to get a different reaction from the person. So that's the external, right? That's activity, that's your work environment, that's how you talk to yourself. Like that's that portion of it. The other portion of it is the food. Okay, your body is a donut, right? The skin on the outside is the same as the skin on the inside. So your gastrointestinal tract really is outside the body, all right? I know it's hard to conceptualize, but it's absolutely true. We're built like a donut. We are what goes in your mouth and you chew up and you swallow down into your stomach through, you know, down your esophagus, in your stomach, into your gut. It's still literally outside the body, guys, all right? It hasn't really entered the body. You're eating it, you're chewing it, which is called mastication. You're masticating it. It's breaking down into this liquid. It's digesting. But it's not until it's in your bloodstream that it's actually inside you, right? It's encapsulated between the mouth and the butthole, which are called sphincters, right? You've got a sphincter. These are just closings. These are seals within the system, right? But it's literally outside of you. And then once it's broken down and into this bolus, this liquid, it's absorbed into your gastrointestinal, it's absorbed through your gastrointestinal tract, through like tentacles, like villi that are in your gut. And then they extract the nutrients at a cellular level and disperse it in through the bloodstream. Bam, very scientific, but that's the way it works. So we're built like donuts. And the food that we're eating isn't actually inside us. So that's why you, again, continuously hear me say, like a broken record, we are not what we eat. We are what we absorb. And I'll say that again. We are not what we eat. We are what we absorb. So any of you out there that have ever done any allergy testing or have determined on your own through trial and error and just shitty luck that you're allergic to something, your skin can break out, right? So you rub up against it and it creates these hives and these hives get itchy and then you scratch them, they get sore and all this stuff that goes on. So imagine eating something that is not good for you, whether it's nutrient dense or not. I don't care if it's an apple or kale or if it's a hot dog. If something causes that type of reaction in the skin inside of you, right? Because your gastrointestinal tract is made from the same stuff that you're staring at, that cover your legs, that cover your arms. It essentially keeps the inside in and the outside out, okay? It's the same for your gut, your gastrointestinal tract. It keeps the outside out and the inside in. So when you're eating that food that is literally outside your body and your gastrointestinal tract is tasked with the job of keeping all of the food, all of the stuff that the body does not want or need or recognize, it's tasked with keeping that in there, pushing it all the way through, and then into the toilet. That's the job, right? The kidneys clean the blood, so that's the stuff in your bloodstream that actually gets into you that your body doesn't need, and the byproduct of that, meaning the waste products. Right, because you're burning a lot of fuel, and if anybody's ever stood behind a car or any other, you know, fuel burning machine, there is byproduct, there is exhaust. So your kidneys are tasked with getting rid of the exhaust. So you're starting to put the system together. This, my friends, is body language, right? Everything has its purpose. when they're not working properly, there's symptoms that we need to be aware of so that we know they're not working properly. And instead of focusing on the symptoms, we listen to the symptoms, and then we can start, you know, conceptualizing and strategizing as to, okay, how can we make these, like, how can we make this go away? Not the symptoms, but how can we get to the problem? What is it that your body's actually needing? So the food that we introduce into our bodies is essentially the conversation that we're having. It's the language. It's money. It's currency. So when your body is under this demand from the lifestyle that you live, and you're able to listen to the body in regards to its rhythm, all right? Say you get up and you drag ass in the morning. Oh, I'm so tired in the morning. I'm not hungry. I'm never hungry, never been hungry. But yet I'm told I have to eat breakfast and all this stuff. You have to listen to those circadian rhythms, those idiosyncrasies that you have. A lot of it has to do with your biochemistry and your body just saying, okay, you know what? I'm not hungry. I'm not ready. So again, thinking of a conversation, imagine you waking up in the morning and your partner has this big, long, complex story that they need to tell you, and you're just like, you're barely keeping your eyes open, and it is annoying as hell, and you want to punch your partner in the face because they're just not, they're not listening to you. So you're not ready. Listen, let me have my coffee, let me sit down, take a few deep breaths, and then I'll be able to actually, you know, understand and comprehend and absorb what it is that you're telling me here. But right now, I'm just not in the mood. It's the same with food, right? You introduce food when it's not the right time, and your body's like, frig off with this. Like, this is ridiculous. And it's inflammatory, right? I don't care how much nutrients it has, the same way as I don't care how important your story is. If I'm busy, if I've got something else on my mind, on my plate, so to speak, or I'm just simply not in the mood, then you're wasting your time and you're pissing me off. And then you'll be pissed off because, you know, I already told you, why didn't you listen, right? You see where I'm going with this miscommunication that we're having with the body. So working with someone, having a coach that understands this, and this is a trend that's coming. It's not yet here. It's just evolving. So, I mean, you know, this idea, this hypothesis, this theory is ahead of the curve by at least 3 years, where we start looking at, okay, you know what, maybe it's not about the nutrients. Maybe it's not even really about the food, because different people absorb different things, right? Hot dogs aren't necessarily evil, you know, the same way as peanut butter isn't necessarily evil. If you can break down peanut butter, you're fine. But if you have anaphylactic reactions to it, then guess what? You cannot eat peanut butter. But is peanut butter bad? Absolutely not. It's bad for some people because it's not meant for some people, right? And these are the things we have to start wrapping our head around. So if you can understand that in regards to when your body uses certain foods, certain nutrients, I should say, and what is the best form of those nutrients that you could give your body that the body even understands that much more, right? Some people, they eat apples and they're hungry and makes their stomach upset and it just sucks. Where some people eat apples and it's great. So maybe apples might be a viable source of pectin and fructose and, you know, the carbohydrates and everything that you need and vitamins and minerals that they have. But for some people, it may not be. And that's where the coaching process really comes in handy, is to be able to sound off on someone, and they might think, okay, well, all right, you need that carbohydrate in order to function properly for cognitive functioning and all the other stuff that carbohydrates do in the body. So why don't you try something else? Why don't you try this fruit, this, right? And eventually what's going to happen is, based on a coaching process where there's a conversation going back and forth between the coach and the client, and then there's, there's teamwork going on. Eventually they find a food of that particular nutrient with those particular nutrients or in that area where the body actually absorbs it better, or maybe a time of the day where the body actually absorbs it better, because your biochemistry changes. And as the biochemistry changes, the nutrient demands change. That's why in the morning, for example, and I use the morning kind of in a general term, but when you wake up, doesn't matter when, but when you wake up from a sleep, you're more insulin sensitive than you are before going to bed. So taking in a higher carbohydrate nutrient food, a higher carbohydrate food source in the morning is going to have less of an effect on your insulin than it will be at night, right? Because you're less insulin sensitive in the evening. Okay, you're more insulin sensitive in the morning, which means you need less insulin to act as that partitioner to get the glucose from the bloodstream into the cells that they're trying to get into, all right? So that's something to be said right there. So it makes more sense, right, to take higher carbohydrates in earlier in the day and less carbohydrates later at night. And that, again, is a generalization. Just to give you an example, there's a lot of specific people that I work with that's actually the opposite because of what they do first thing in the morning and how they live their lives. So you have that environmental, that lifestyle impact that has a big determining factor as to the conversation, right? The situation can really determine the conversation you need to have. When I was a firefighter and I was in a stressful situation, the conversation was very different than the conversation I would have with that same individual back at the firehouse, or if I bumped into them on the street, or you know, the house or the structure around us wasn't burning down, right? So those are things that you have to take into consideration. So anyway. It's a big, broad topic, but it's a really cool one to start to get into. But food and lifestyle, they actually connect, and it's like a communication or a conversation that you have with your body. And the body, in turn, gives you symptoms to tell you as to whether or not it's understanding what it is that you're doing or it doesn't. And if it doesn't, then you're going to get inflammation. You're going to get frustration, right? It's like talking to someone and they're not speaking your language and they're trying to get their point across and they're doing it every day. And eventually your patience starts to wear thin. Why aren't you speaking my language? If you want me to do this, why are you not taking the time to be able to speak it in my language, right? Instead of thinking that the body's going to learn the language, right? For the body to evolve into our environment that has changed so drastically over the last 100 years, and our food that has changed so drastically over the 100 years. Now, I'm not getting into GMOs and all that other shit. What I'm talking about is the availability of certain foods. Our landscape when it comes to foods has changed beyond comprehension over the last 100 years, right? Not so much the food has changed, but incrementally compared to the food landscape and what's available, right? We have more junk food available or nutrient-less foods, high-calorie, low-nutrient foods available to us today than we have low-calorie, high-nutrient foods. And when you go to other countries, other nationalities, they have more nutrient-dense, low-calorie foods and less junk food. So our landscape is very conducive to what it is that we're facing right now. Our landscape, our lifestyle is actually forming the bodies and the illness that we have. And the fact that we don't understand how to feed ourselves to navigate this new landscape is really causing that to, it's exacerbating that, right? So it's excelling the process. We're speeding up the body trying to evolve, we're speeding up the adaptation process, but the body's, it's like anything really that you build. If you build it too quickly, you're going to miss things, there's going to be mistakes, and structurally, it's not going to be sound. And I think that's the big dilemma here with our bodies, is we're making our bodies healthy instead of letting our bodies become healthy. And as we make our bodies become healthy, we're not asking the right questions, we're not getting involved in the process, we're simply just following orders or doing what we're told. And we're rushing this evolution, and the body's developing, but as it's developing, you're missing some things. And you know, cancers and vacancies where disease can creep in, these things are all forming because we skipped a step or two, or we messed up somewhere, and again, that happens with lack of communication. So the communication between your body, the communication between the environment, and the communication between the food. Again, I refer back to that tripod that we all need to pay attention to. These are the three, you know, legs of it. And if they're communicating properly, then you're going to get relative balance, right? You're going to get shaken and moved around a little bit, but you're going to have three good pegs or pillars underneath you to hold you up. And so that's kind of what I wanted to get into in this podcast, everybody, just to get you guys thinking differently. Because, again, I'm sick and tired of people coming out with the same shit, naming it differently and all this stuff. And these goddamn trends, you know, if I hear ketosis one more time for weight loss or for a wedding or someone just wants to do it for a lifestyle, I may punch someone in the face, honestly. And, you know, you may read about it in the newspaper. It's ridiculous. People are so desperate these days that they're just continuing to jump from lily pad to lily pad to lily pad instead of looking at the big pond and what's really available to us. These are all tools. But we have to fix the conversation that's going on right now. We have to understand our bodies a little bit more. And the only way you can do that is by going on this journey, by working with a coach, having good communication with the coach, and then the coach helping you understand what it is that your body's telling you it needs in order to adapt to the safely and constructively and positively adapt to the environment that it's in, so that the day that you wake up to is not stressful on you. It's not causing breakdown. The day that you wake up to, no matter what you're facing, your body can look at it as stimulus. I got this. I'm strong. I'm full of piss and vinegar. Let's go. Let's get it done. Let's cut fence. Let's do this, right? That is the conversation. That is the leadership that you have in your life of your body, right? Of your nutrition, making good choices based on your individual specific needs. Again, not based solely on the trending food or the nutrient density of the food. If the food is nutrient dense, but yet you're not getting it, right? Because it's not what you eat, it's what you absorb. So you eat the nutrient dense food, but if you're not getting it into your cells, you are hugely, hugely messed up, right? Because now you think you're getting all of this good nutrients and you increase the demand on the body, or you continue to push forward thinking that you're getting something that you're not, and that's the worst. Imagine going out and purchasing something knowing that there's money on the way, okay? My income tax is coming back, and I've got so much in my income tax, so I'm going to go out and I'm going to buy something with my mortgage money because I know my income tax is coming in, and that'll cover it. So I'll be able to replace my mortgage with this money coming in income tax. So you go out and you buy something, and then, shit, the income tax, it wasn't what they said it was going to be because there were a bunch of lines you didn't fill in, or a couple I's you didn't dot or T's crossed. So it ends up being a fraction of what it is that you initially thought. So, man, now you're in a bad spot. You're panicked. You're stressed. You are, air quotes, inflamed. You see where I'm going with this? So when you get to understand your food and how your body reacts to it by listening to it, by going through the process, right, and listening to the results, how your bowels move, how you feel, how you sleep, how your inflammation is in your joints, you know, your mood, your appetite, whether or not your body's craving it. There's so many things that a really good coach could help you out with. And you need to listen to that coach, and don't be a dick and start focusing on, you know, purely just weight loss, right? Figure out, it's not about getting the body to do what you want it to do. It's the body doing what you want it to do. It's letting it, not making it. That's good leadership. That's a conversation. That's a relationship, not a dictatorship. This dictatorship of the mind and the body, oh, you know, I'll weigh and measure and I won't go out and I'm going to do all this asinine crazy shit and, you know, totally retract myself from society and my friends, and I'm going to achieve this goal. Damn it, I'm going to achieve this goal. you're going to get there and then you're going to drop it like a hot potato because you can't sustain a goal like that because of how you achieve the goal. Taking the journey, learning about your body, the environment in which you live in, and how the food can help balance that whole equation. And then you'll get to a point at this goal where you're like, damn, I want more. I see how this works now, right? I wanted a managerial position, or a supervisor position, but now I want a manager position. And you know what? Once I get to the manager position, you realize, wow, I can go to, you know, an ownership or CEO or whatever. The sky's the limit. Instead of just, you know, burning yourself into oblivion just to achieve a goal, and then after that goal, you've got no identity or nothing left in the tank to go any further, and you can't sustain it. And then 97, you know, almost 98% of people that lose their weight or focus on trying to improve their health, they shit the bed in 5 years, 75% in the first two, right? So those are the statistics that we should be made aware of and understand that it's because of the way that we've been doing it and the people that we've been listening to that have been causing us to make these missteps because we're not listening to ourselves, we're not listening to our bodies, there's no conversation, we're just doing what we're told, when we're told, how we're told, and then we're being let down at the end of it because, again, the way that we achieve success determines whether or not we can sustain that success and build on that success. You guys follow me? All right? So that basically concludes our podcast for today. Sec here, I'm trying to get this. So the conversation with the body is what we need to focus on. And like any relationship where there hasn't been conversation, there's going to be frustration. And there's going to be a lot of animosity and distrust. And it's going to take time and really good conversation, almost over communication in order to fix that. And communication takes a talker and a listener. And then that reverses and takes a listener and a talker. You see what I mean? One thing, one person can't do all the talking, and one person can't do all the listening. There needs to be a back and forth, all right? And there needs to be time in order to do that because you need to learn the other person's language. You have to learn how the other person listens, okay? So the person talking needs to know how the other person listens. And the person listening needs to help, needs to understand the language of the other person. Okay? That's a really good communication. Okay? So then you start to see or feel what the person's saying as opposed to just hearing their words. You're getting the meaning underneath what it is that, or how they're articulating it. And that's a great place to start. And then all of a sudden, there's a trust and communication back and forth. And then things just flow so much better. And it's never going to be perfect, right? We're not looking to achieve perfect health. What we're looking, because what the hell is perfect health, right? We're looking to achieve balance. And we're looking to optimize your specific health. What is your health? What do you want to do? What do you want to create? What kind of life do you want to have? What do you want to do? You know, these types of things. And they can change people, so we need to be very flexible with this. But if you don't know, if you're not trusting and you're just following, and if you're not in having a communication and with the elements involved, then again you're gonna have a mutiny on your hands. Something's gonna start shutting down. Someone's gonna quit on you, and your body is not autonomous. It's a multitude of different organs and trillions of cells and everything just working just like a Swiss timepiece. And when one organ starts to shut down, when one team member becomes disgruntled, the whole system suffers, right? So communication, body language is so important. Listen to your body. And that's a great, it sounds, you know, that's great, Neil, but how the hell do I do it? Well, get a coach. Start writing your food down. Start listening to podcasts like this. Start sending in questions on you know, Facebook to me, right? Get to know, because if you're not asking questions, that's the best way to start any conversation, guys. Ask a freaking question, right? You're not learning anything when you're telling everybody everything. You know, you can't, you know, when your mouth's open, your ears are shut. Ask a question, sit back and see, okay, where does this lead me? And then it may lead you to another question and then to another question. But every time it's leading you to another question, you're getting a shit ton of information in between those questions. And those, that's the information that you use to build what it is that you want to build. And, right, we're all looking for health. And how that health looks is totally, totally specific to you. All right? You're not chasing someone else's idea of health. Take your damn time. Get better. Gradually. And then all of a sudden you'll find that it flies by. We're so hell-bent on getting it done now that we're actually pissing the time away. I've seen people lose 100 pounds in 8 months, and I've seen people lose 100 pounds in 8 years. Guess what? The person who lost 100 pounds over the 8 years, big winner, because they still have it off, and they had it off 8 years, right? Versus the person who lost it in 8 months, they have it back on within, like I said before, 75% within 2 years, 100%, probably close to 150% within five. So if that person has all their weight back in 5 years and the person took 8 years to lose the 100 pounds, who's the winner? The person who took the longer route to do it. But here's the rub. It wasn't longer because they have it off. You got me? The person who lost it in 8 months, they didn't lose shit. They misplaced it. But then they found it again, or it found them, because they didn't deal with the language. They didn't create the relationship. They didn't build the structure. They didn't deal with those three pillars. And there was nothing there to hold that success up. It was a facade. It was a joke. And we all need to really come to terms with that. And we need to stop being coerced into these bullshit programs and challenges and things like this. Honestly, people, those are just money makers. Okay? So that's the podcast for today. Hopefully it's something that you can think about, mill over, talk to friends about. Please share, like and share, comment. Spread this around, because this isn't just me that's thinking like this, all right? A lot of you out there, you're wondering, you're feeling stuck. Why do I keep doing the same things but yet not get different results? And that's because we need to do things differently. We need to think and do differently to achieve different. But no one out there is thinking differently. We're all using old processes, old science. We're not looking at the big picture. And people are so focused and so hard-pressed on convincing you that they're right, that their theory, or that they're, you know, that they're not really considering you as an individual. You're not in the equation, right? And results are very, very important. And that's a big one, all right? Results are important, but sustainable results are the only results as far as I'm concerned, okay? When you have success, you keep success. When you have a successful relationship, guess what? You're still in it. The relationship can change, but the thing is, you're still in it, right? I've had a bunch of successful relationships. My ex-wife is one of them, where, you know, we just changed our relationship. We're still best friends. We're still parents. So we just changed the relationship. We didn't end one. To me, that's success. That's a win. And I'm pretty sure she sees it the same way. So, and the kids see it the same way. And you see the benefit of success is that it penetrates so many different areas of your life, and you can build on that success, all right? So when you're looking at success, it's not just the achievement of, it's the sustainability of what it is what you achieved. And a lot of that sustainability has to be the journey, That's where the sustainability is accumulated, right? You cannot write checks you can't cash. Let me rephrase that. You can, but it's illegal, and you're going to get thrown in jail, and you're going to lose everything that you purchased with those checks. So you're a fraud, okay? Don't write checks you can't cash. Pay attention to your body. Listen to your body. Use the environment. So use your lifestyle. Use your nutrition. And listen to your body. And all of a sudden, you've got a conversation that's worth listening to. And you have the capacity now to create greatness and have a quality of life that you at one point could have only imagined or seen in glimpses. All right? Thanks, everybody. Take care.